Many women consider bearing their children naturally, not resorting to the modern drugs that ease the pain that goes with childbirth. But ease and childbirth are not often found in the same sentence. And many women who thought natural childbirth was a great idea in week 36 do not actually follow through when it comes time to deliver. So, is natural childbirth a club to which only a few special people get to belong? That question was the focus of a study performed by our next guest. Dr. Adam Rafalovich is a sociologist, formerly at Southern Oregon University, now at Pacific University in Forest Grove. He'll talk about his findings later today at SOU. Those are very clear from the title of his paper. It's called Pain is the Club, Identity and Membership in the Natural Childbirth Community. Dr. Adam Rafalovich, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Yeah, it's really great to have you here. And I think we should probably start at square one. We're talking about natural childbirth, but this is a sociology study, not a medical study on childbirth itself, right?
That's right. I mean, I think it has implications for people in medical practice. And it's not the only one that has a sociological angle toward natural childbirth, but it's definitely sociological.
So what was the question that you wanted to answer?
Well, you know, I go into this thing really inductively. And so for me, I started out with a very open-ended interview schedule and initially talked just to a few moms in a local mom's club. And the conversation about birth stories seemed to always center upon how a child was delivered, what was the process with respect to pain. And so for me, those things became very kind of indicative of how, you know, women see themselves vis-a-vis other women, you know.
Uh-huh.
And there were a lot of conversations where I think you could kind of see how people would almost express a degree of regret or, you know, a certain reflectiveness about the decisions they made when they delivered.
Like they continued to be judged for those decisions?
That was one of the things I became very interested in, is how do women who, for example, wanted to deliver naturally but weren't able to do so for one reason or another or chose not to do so, how did they see how other women saw them? So it was really a discussion of the way that they felt they were perceived by that greater community.
I think we should probably pause here and
sure.
define natural childbirth versus
yeah.
a more medicalized version of childbirth.
Yeah. So this is very interesting. So when we think about natural childbirth, this is one of the definitions that becomes very unclear if you look at the content of the study and other studies, is that what defines natural is really what we call socially constructed in sociology.
Uh-huh. I mean, it's at the grocery store too, right? So it's
yeah.
a socially constructed word.
It really is. And uh-huh. it's become something of a buzz phrase that applies to a whole host of things in our culture, right?
Uh-huh.
So initially, I think that when we think about the most clinical definitions of it, we think about children who are delivered vaginally, children who are delivered without the use of some sort of chemical pain management or chemical intervention. What's very interesting to me is that I had at least one respondent in my sample talk about how because the drug Pitocin, which is a synthetic of oxytocin that aids in the labor process, actually increases pain and increases contraction, that it does not remove someone from still having membership in the natural childbirth community. So, there were people I spoke with in the study who talked about how taking drugs like Pitocin did not mean they did not deliver naturally because the birth was still a vaginal birth.
Wow. A lot to unpack there.
Yeah.
I want to roll it back just a second. Your study, can you tell us about who participated in the study? You said the question you were trying to answer
yeah.
is what was this club, I guess, that
yeah.
developed out of natural childbirth
yeah.
or not participating in it? But who did you look to answer
yeah.
these questions?
So I interviewed 50 moms, mainly in terms of income level, et cetera, you know, middle class to upper middle class, and mainly white. So it's in terms of diversity, it's a pretty limited sample. So that's kind of the profile of who I'm interviewing for the study.
Uh-huh.
What I found interesting about if you mentioned the definition of the club was when it kind of comes to fruition and looking at, you know, 600 pages of transcribed interview data, is that a lot of the women that I spoke with who weren't able to deliver naturally according to their definition felt a degree of failure or even a sense of shame because they didn't live up to what they felt their own expectations were for the child. For their own delivery. Can I make one more quick point about
that?
So the way that this kind of susses out is, you know, when we talk about medicalization, you have a process, you know, delivering a child, which has, you know, nothing but variables. It's completely fluid. The situation is one that can really cannot be controlled to any great extent. And so what a lot of women find themselves experiencing is going into a very controlled and controlling medical environment in which, you know, those two processes don't really match up.
Which two processes?
Well, the process of delivering a child. I mean, who knows how long you're going to be in labor? Who knows how long it takes for, you know, full dilation to occur? There are all these variables that you
right.
can't control. And yet you're in a medical environment where control is the definition. Control is the standard. That's what they really operate on is control. That's how they provide, in many ways, safety for people, is by controlling as many of those variables as they can. So those two processes are really, really incongruent.
Oh, and perhaps part of how pregnancy has come to be seen as an illness or a disability in some ways, as opposed to a more natural or necessary thing for our species.
This is exactly right. And one of my respondents was a physician. And, you know, we were talking about the hospital context. And she said, look, hospitals are for sick people. And for people who are pregnant, this is not a sickness. It's not an illness.
Although, I mean, I think it's worth pointing out that in this century, in this country, the infant mortality rate has dropped by 90%. And the maternal mortality rate has dropped by 99%, according to the Centers for Disease Control. So I wouldn't be so quick to, you know, write off medicalization.
Yeah.
I'm curious what you think. We're talking about natural childbirth and membership in that club with Dr. Adam Rafalovich, Associate Professor of Sociology at Pacific University and an alum here at Southern Oregon University. Your thoughts are welcome on this program. What have your experiences prenatal and postnatal been? Here on the Jefferson Exchange, you can reach us at 800-838-3760 or email us jx@jeffnet.org. Now, Adam, we're just talking about this idea of medicalization of childbirth. You describe in your study, your survey of 50 women and their experiences, as childbirth in the West as a socially negotiated process.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk more about that?
Well, one of the most important parts about that is so many of the women I interviewed go into the birth process prepared. Okay, they go into it having read books and seen documentaries, and you know, these are folks that I interviewed who really, I think, had their ducks in a row knowledge-wise. They really knew what they wanted and what they had expected.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we talk about negotiation, it's, again, with those variables that are uncontrollable, you know. So, you know, let's say that, you know, your water breaks, but the labor process isn't, you know, expedient enough, or there's some sort of variable that gets into the equation that really kind of limits the person's choices. And so when we talk about it being negotiated, we're talking about moments where women are in the delivery room and they're literally being pressured by medical agents, medical authorities, you know, nurses and physicians, et cetera, to take on chemical pain management or other, you know, medically more invasive kind of procedures. And it doesn't always it's not always caused by some sort of medical emergency. Sometimes it's just the unexpected, you know, really difficult pain of childbirth.
It sounds like, as you mentioned before, with Pitocin, it's not like any medication makes your childbirth not natural. Can you talk more about the spectrum there? What kinds of medication, I guess, would kick you out of the club of natural childbirth?
Yeah. Well, and that to me is where the sociology is.
Uh-huh.
So the sociology is in the fact that there really is no clear-cut definition, because depending upon who you speak to and who their immediate, you know, community is, they would define it very differently. You know, some women I spoke to define natural as at-home water birth, you know, at-home midwife only. And then as soon as there's any sort of medical involvement with respect to a hospital or an HMO's birthing center or whatnot, that changes the definition to something that's not natural. And so there really is a continuum there.
And with Pitocin, you said it doesn't serve to ease pain.
Intensifies pain, for sure.
It intensifies pain even. So in the responses you got, was that a factor in people saying that it didn't cancel out all the work they had done to have a natural birth?
Isn't that an interesting thing? I mean,
why pain?
Yeah, that to me, and there's one respondent that I have a quote right here from one of my respondents, and I'll talk more about this today at 12:30. You know, she said, I think that really, in italics, really giving birth, and what she means by really giving birth is birth completely without drugs. And she says, I think that really giving birth can be a great touchstone for a woman's experience. And what she's really saying is that the whole process, whether it's painful, whether it's not, whether it's, you know, whatever the process is, giving it, you know, having a child without any of those medical interventions is kind of almost essential to woman's experience. Mm. And so, I mean, when I say pain is the club, you know, those are my respondents talking, right? That's a quote from what, you know, what my respondents actually say.
Let's take a call. We've got Jean in Winston on the line. Jean, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. You're on the air.
Yes, hello. Well, hi. I just wanted to mention a childhood experience I had that determined me to have natural childbirth for my 3 deliveries.
Well, go ahead, Jean.
Well, when I was about 7 years old in the 2nd grade, my father came and fetched me from school and took me home, and there my kitty Fluffy was having babies. She was having her kittens, and she was just purring and so happy. And that, to me, just showed me that childbirth was a joyous experience. And so, well, that I just wanted to pass that along, that maybe, you know, if children could watch an animal giving birth, you know, in happiness and you know, not suffering, well, that might help them through their childbirth experience.
And so, Jean, you had 3 children without any kind of chemical intervention, such
that's
as an Epidural?
Right. That's exactly right. I refused all of that stuff. And but I did have injections of procaine for the episiotomies, which were the most painful part of the whole process, those episiotomies.
Oh, well, thank you for sharing your experiences, Jean. We have got some other callers on the line. I think I'll go straight to Patricia in Grants Pass, also has comments about pain in childbirth. Patricia, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
When you're pregnant, when you're going through the labor process, if you just pretend like you're blowing a candle out, the pain just disappears. And that worked with both my sons. And then when you get to these doctors in the hospital, first thing they do, they give you that saddle block in the spine, and that throws a monkey wrench in nature's process of delivering a baby, because it shuts everything down and it makes you, you don't feel anything at all. You can touch your thigh and it feels like you're holding a sponge. You don't even know it's your own leg. And so it makes you, your body as if you were a dead corpse delivering a baby, and then they reach in there with those forceps and pull the baby out because they threw a monkey wrench in nature's process and shut everything down.
All right,
so
Patricia.
All you have to do to stop the pain, pretend like you're blowing a candle out.
All right, Patricia, thank you for that view. Powerful image there, like a dead corpse having a baby pulled out of it. Did you get, you talked to women who were pregnant. Did you talk to women who had already gone through the process, or did you follow them all the way through their pregnancies and follow up with them?
These were folks who had already delivered children,
okay,
and some definitely more than one. One of the things I wanted to mention about the epidural, also known as spinal anesthesia, is that, you know, that is kind of the, you know, the medical intervention I think that most people think of when they think of that cascade process that the caller had just kind of mentioned. And it kind of goes with, you know, first you begin with an epidural because the pain is so intense, and then that leads to other sorts of interventions. And a really great documentary called The Business of Being Born that was produced by Ricky Lake actually outlines that really well and offers some pretty good international comparisons with that. But one of the things I wanted to mention about epidurals and more radical types of interventions, for example, a C-section, you look at the United States, approximately two-thirds, a little bit less than two-thirds, about 60% of all women have spinal anesthesia. They have an epidural when they deliver children.
Yeah.
So that's about, but we have a 32% C-section rate in the U.S., okay? Now you look at a country like France. France has about an 80% spinal anesthesia rate. So about 80% of French women who deliver kids have an epidural, yet their C-section rate is only 18%.
Are those related factors? I mean,
absolutely. Well, this is the thing. What I would say is, when you look at the comparison between the U.S. and France, is that spinal anesthesia does not automatically lead to the cascading effect and a C-section. And one of the things that I would kind of forward as a maybe even a future study is that, you know, in a privatized healthcare environment, C-sections are more common for a variety of different reasons versus the French system that's more of a nationalized healthcare approach.
Some things playing in there perhaps the healthcare system.
Well, I think with France, you got a single payer system. Yeah. And so for them, they don't have to get a person out of the delivery room in some rapid succession.
Let's get another call in here before we wrap up the hour. Rebecca in Junction City is on the line. Rebecca, welcome to The Exchange.
Hi. I had natural childbirth back in 1973 at a small community hospital, and this is when it was kind of first getting popular. And I had, the staff was very supportive of natural childbirth, and I started out and everything was fine. And in a ways into labor, I was just screaming for drugs, and they said, come on, you can make it without it. So I didn't have any, but I think it was horrible. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
All right. So, Rebecca, you got encouragement not to take the drugs.
Right. This was because the type of community it was, I think, and the time and everything. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Rebecca. Adam, sounds like experiences might vary depending on where you are and when you are.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I also, you know, I would probably want to do more work on this, but I think that the age of the mom also is a big factor. I think women who have more experience, maybe it's their second or third child, they've delivered. There's a little bit less pressure put upon them. I think with younger moms, I think the environment can be a little bit more overwhelming. Uh-huh. And you have, you know, experienced medical professionals who may have 20, 30 years in the business, and that may really influence their decisions.
All right. We've been talking today with Dr. Adam Rafalovich. He is an associate professor of sociology at Pacific University. His research is called Pain is the Club, Identity and Membership in the Natural Childbirth Community. Also the subject of a talk today at Southern Oregon University, 12:30 to 1:30 p.m. in Stevenson Union Room 319. It's a free event, and you can find more about it at jeffexchange.org. Adam, thank you so much for coming in to see us this morning.
Thanks. It was great to be here.